Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to continue in this wonderful chapter, and we're going to expound verses 21 through 29, and please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for your goodness and grace. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Let Your Lamp Shine Bright. How many of you can honestly say that God has given you a lantern, a lamp? Amen? And in layman's terms, that's the Holy Ghost living inside. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to transition over, and then we're going to continue. Amen. God is so good. Amen? So, let's read verses 21 through 29, and then let's just ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us tonight. Amen? And so it goes. It says, verse 21, and he said to them, it's a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Verse 22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. And we're going to look at this because Jesus reiterates this throughout the Gospels and also John in the book of Revelation. Verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Verse 25. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Wow. This kind of like, wow, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit to have the Spirit of God illuminate this one passage of Scripture, you'll say, man, what is this? Is God an Indian giver? No. We'll get to that verse. Verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And remember, the past weeks we were talking about the seeds, amen? And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself do not know. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head, okay? Why is Jesus using agriculture? Because once again, we're talking about parables. He's painting a picture. But the mystery of the kingdom he has given to us. Hallelujah. Verse 29. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. The harvest has come. And so let's look at verse 21 and let's start expounding these verses. And he said to them, it's a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed. Is it not to be set on a lamp stand? And so saints, in ancient Israel, a lamp was a lighted wick in a clay bowl that was full of oil. The lamp was not lit and then put under a closed place. Why? Because if it were to be put in a bed, guess what? Go out right away. Can I get an amen? And so this is a spiritual application. And when you look a little deeper to this, you see, saints, the lamp was not lit and then put under a closed place. Instead, the lamp was lit and placed on a stand where its light will shine and illuminate the room. Let me ask you this. Have you ever walked in in the midst of either family or friends or even strangers. And the Holy Ghost is living and breathing and permeating through your life and through your heart and through your being. They see something you don't see. They see the anointing of God upon you. And they see a light coming forth from you. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, in Matthew says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Say that with me. Light of the world. You and I, we've been blessed. We've been chosen. We've been elected by God. There was nothing that you and I could have said or done. There's no merit that we could bring to the table in why God chose us. He made a sovereign choice. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He saw that when he illuminated your heart, guess what? He knew that you would worship him and praise him. We didn't know our hearts. Last week we revealed this, huh? We saw in scripture that, man, I'd had no clue that I would be worshiping a God that I have yet to see with my natural eyes. But yet by faith, I believe. And because of our faith and our belief, God has given us his promises. And he has bestowed upon us his spirit of grace. It says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. What God is saying tonight to you and I, because we've been illuminated, because we've been saved, and we are no longer in darkness, we live in his marvelous light, that our lights need to shine bright. Can I get amen? Amen. Unsaved folks need to see that. And sometimes it's not so much what you say, it's what you do. Actions speak louder than words. You can talk all about God, but they want to see you live it too. Can I get an amen? They want to see you walk the walk and talk the talk. And so it's easy to say, praise the Lord, everybody, and go home and curse out someone. With the same mouth praising him, and then the same mouth cursing someone. So God is saying, whoa, slow your roll. Man, I was sharing with you. You know, things happen even during a beautiful moment. And I think the worst people that could get under your skin is your own family. Look what it says in verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what God is looking from you and I, is that we would bring glory to him. Even in the midst of turmoil. Even in the midst of opposition. Even when things that just don't go right in your life. Can you still praise him? Can you still magnify him? And so the disciples, they may have wondered why Jesus seemed to be deliberately hiding the truth of the gospel through his stories. You got to remember, this is the first time he came on the scene. Remember, he went and selected, follow me, follow me, follow me. So they're following him. And let me just say this, they had a whole lot of faith to follow someone they never met. But there was something about Jesus, because he was God manifested in the flesh. He was God right before them. How many would have loved to be where they were to actually handle the Lord? To see his face and to have him hold you and hug you and let you know everything's going to be all right. Well, that's what his Holy Spirit does now. He's the God of all comfort. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it still is. Can I get an amen? There are times when you could be sitting, you could be driving, you could be working, and then he just rolls up on you. And you know it's him. And so you take in the moment because he's having intimacy with you right now. Sometimes he'll allow you to be in a desert place where it's like a child. It's like a baby. You know, when an infant, if the mother leaves it for a second or just the presence of the mother is distant from the child, it knows and it longs for the mother and it starts crying. We're no different. When we don't feel his presence, knowing by faith he is still there, we cry for him. We want his presence in us. And so we should always yearn for the Lord. Can I get amen? And so perhaps they thought if the word was going to fall on hard hearts, then why should they sow it so liberally? So they said, why are you just scattering all this? And yet they saw some that shunned him and mocked him. Well, Jesus had a plan. We saw a chapter ago how the seeds were thrown, some on stony ground, some on what? Weeds that were there, some on shallow ground. But he still threw out the seeds because some fell on good ground. And you are here this evening because you are good ground. Can I get amen? The good ground. I'm going to say the good ground saints. The good ground saints love the Lord. Love to be in his presence. Love the word of God. Love the things of God. And God seals your heart. Hallelujah. With his love and his grace. My brother, tonight, for the first time, he's going down in Jesus' name, and God is going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's going to have experience with God like no other. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I remember when I got filled. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. The corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears. And I was walking around like this. I was like just floating. And I felt like I was looking through someone else's eyes in me. It was like, wow, who's in me? And it's the Holy Ghost. He came in to reside in you. Isn't that something? We serve a mighty God. And throughout the scriptures, you know, Jesus will say, if I'm hiding the truth, there is no reason for me to teach. He had to, teach truth. Can I get amen? So the purpose of the story, saints, was not to conceal the truth, but to reveal it. It was to reveal truth. Because the story, saints, they explain spiritual truths in everyday terms. So I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what life has brought your way. God will see you through. God will give you grace to go through. God will give you strength to go through. And God will deliver you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get amen? Amen. And so the stories do not obscure. They clarify. But only to those who are willing to listen and to believe and to obey. Then he illuminates it. Why? Because he sees the heart. He sees a heart that longs for him, that wants to embrace him in every way. That's the grace of God. Can I get amen? So let's go to verse 22 in Mark chapter 4. It says, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. It should come to light. You see, saints, Jesus continued his explanation for his use of parables throughout the Gospels. Although, saints, the truth may be hidden or even a secret for a while, it will not remain so. Why? Because one day the truth will be brought to light. You know that God exposes everything. He exposes the good, the bad, and even the ugly. Nothing's hidden from God. Can I get amen? Nothing is. So this is why, you know when it's time to be on your best behavior? Seriously. It's not amongst us. It's not even amongst your family. It's when you're all by yourself. That's when it's time to be in your best behavior. Can I get amen? Because guess what? He's sitting right next to you. Look at this. In Romans, this is Paul. He exhorted the Roman church. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of what? Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, the mystery kept what? Secret. This was a secret. This is why the parables were given. And then later on, Jesus pulled them aside and says, I need to tell you what these parables mean. It was kept secret since what? The world began. This is before the whole entire universe was even spoken into existence. When you read the Genesis account, there was nothing here. And God spoke it, and it was so. Can I get amen? But now he has been made what? Who has been made? Jesus. He has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures. He's been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. What? For obedience to the faith. So when we walk in obedience, guess what God does? He continually shows us more and more revelation. More and more grace. Amen. Obedience to faith, what? To God. Alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And it's amen and amen. Amen. And so, saints, this could also refer to Jesus' resurrection, his ascension, and when his followers would fully understand Jesus' words, or even the second coming. But one of the things that I truly believe what he's revealed to you and I is that he is coming back soon. Huh? He is coming back soon. Because he promised us, he promised the disciples, he promised the apostles, and he promises us today that he will be back for us again. And he said that the times that we live in, we would know it. And so let's move on to verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, let me ask you this. Is he talking about ears that maybe sometimes you need a Q-tip to unplug? You know the buildup in there? Is that the kind of ears that we think they are? No. He's talking about spiritual ears. See, God's word speaks to our spirit. It doesn't speak to our intellect. It doesn't speak to man's wisdom. It speaks to our spirit. Why? Because that's how we communicate with God, through truth and through spirit. Can I get amen? And when we have the truth, we can now communicate with the Holy God. And he gives us revelation after revelation after revelation. Let's look at revelation. Look what it says right here. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now look at this. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So let me ask you this question. What ears is he talking about as far as those who have these ears to hear? It's to the church. It's to the born-again believers. It's to us who are filled with the Spirit, who are heaven-bound, who now there's a hell to shun. Because at one time we were walking what? In darkness. Now we've been translated into his marvelous light by faith. And God now has given us ears to hear. So this is why when we gather Wednesdays and Bible studies and Sundays is we can follow the scriptures, but then God is speaking to your spirit. And he's building you up. Can I get amen? How many can honestly say that the word of God builds you up? God's word will never tear you down. He didn't bring you into this great salvation to tear you down. His whole motive and agenda is to bring you life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. So back to Mark in verse 24. It says, when he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Okay? You know, sometimes we use this as a motivation for tithes and offerings, but this is beyond tithes and offerings. It's way beyond that. Saints, because the stories are so important and what they teach, Jesus warned the people to pay attention to his words. We must what? Treasure the words of Jesus. Those saints heard, understood, then shared with others would be given even understanding to pass it along. There's something here that we're responsible for because we've been given a measure. We've been given a cup. We've been given grace and mercy. You know, there was nothing, as I indicated, that merit our salvation. But one thing I can honestly say, guess what he had on you and me? Mercy. Mercy. We don't deserve this great salvation. But guess what? He gave it to us anyhow. Aren't you so blessed? He has counted you in that number. You know, they play a song in New Orleans, and in the saints come marching in, and the saints come marching. You know that song? Oh, I wish to be in that number. Well, where did they get that? They got that song from the Word of God. Because we are going to be the saints that are marching into the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? Because God has numbered us. Hallelujah. He has numbered you. And guess what he has said now about us? That you are now my friend. You are my brother and my sister. Yes, we know we reverence him as Lord and Savior and God and his holiness and his glory and how wonderful and how he's our great majesty. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, I'm your friend. Did you know that when we pray the benediction, every now and then, I'll remember to pray the benediction. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. It says, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face. You know what he does? When we're praising him and we're worshiping him and we see, may the Lord bless you and keep you, he comes to us on bended knees and he lifts us up like a little child and he's so glad to see us when we come to worship him. His heart rejoices. When you do a Hebraic study on the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, may the Lord make his face shine upon you, may the Lord be gracious to you, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He's actually lifting you up like a little baby, and he's smiling at you, and he's loving you, and he's telling you how much he loves you, and that you are important to him, that you're marvelously made, wonderfully made. Can I get an amen? Never think for one moment that he can disown you. No, he went to the cross to save us. Not to condemn us. Can I get amen? Amen. Guess what? Old Slewfoot will condemn you all day long. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. You see, saints, believers are responsible to use well their God-given understanding, our insight, and opportunities to share the gospel. Whether they have little or much, that is not nearly as important as what is done with what we have. So, here's the thing. You may just know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's probably all that you know that you could think of. That alone to tell an unbeliever, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture alone is enough to bring someone into salvation. Can I get amen? Amen. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know and memorize Genesis all the way through Revelation. All God is saying, what I have given you, you go now, pass it along. Go share it. Go bless someone with my word. And tell them about me. Tell them what I did for you. So that you can let others know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? And so the more you do this, saints, the more you will understand. A person's openness and perception of the kingdom message will bring great rewards. How many want to be rewarded by God? Well, guess what? Just humble yourself and give it away. Don't hoard it to yourself. Yeah, I'm saved, sanctified. Yeah. What about you? No. You humble yourself just like him and share the gospel message with them. Can I get amen? There's people perishing every day. I hope you know that. And so God has given us a sphere of influence. The people that are in your life right now, be the difference changer. Can I get an amen? My wife knows what I'm going through right now, and I'm always asking her, honey, help me, give me wisdom, give me grace. And I battle back. I mean, I'm like a ping pong, back and forth. But ultimately, I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen? Amen. My flesh says, nuh-uh, nuh-uh. But God is saying, slow your roll, my son. Just slow your roll. Trust in me. And so the more you do this, saints, the more you will understand, and a person's openness and perception of the kingdom message will be great rewards. Ultimately, saints, believers will receive eternal blessings in heaven. How many can't wait for that eternal blessing? So, because God has given us much, this is one thing that Jesus says to be very careful with, because we have the keys to the kingdom. Right? And so the unbelievers will slander you. The unbelievers will mock you. The unbelievers will come against you in all different facets of life. But Jesus told us, because we have now a measure and a portion of the truth, we have to be careful what he gives us. Can I get amen? Look what he says here in Matthew. Judge not that you, what? You be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure, there's that measure that ties in with Mark. With that measure you use, it will be measured back to what? To you. God is speaking volumes to me right now. It'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, hey, let me remove that speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. My goodness. Be careful. Be careful how you treat someone and mock them and go behind closed doors and then just rank and just crucify somebody. And try to turn people's hearts away from you. Oh my gosh. Be careful. People like that need to be careful. And we in the church should not ever walk in that way. Can I get amen? Amen. Unbelievers don't know what lies before them in weight of their unbelief. Look at what it says here. Jesus called. Hey, you know what? Everyone says, oh, Jesus is love. Jesus, oh, you know, we can float on clouds and harps. No, Jesus, he had to rebuke some folks. Can I get an amen? There's two types of folks that God had to deal with here on earth. The self-righteous folks and the religious folks, the scribes and Pharisees. And he had to say, hypocrite, First, remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Man, did you catch that? Don't get, you know what? If someone don't want to hear the truth, if someone just mock, you know what? Just don't even engage. Don't even wrestle in the mud with them. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is living in you. You don't have to go that direction. You don't have to go their way. You just say, I got to brush this off and I got to keep going. I got to keep going. Nor cast your pearls before swines. You know what the pearls are? God's grace to us. And no matter what we say, they still mock, they still persecute you. You know, that's when you've already planted that seed. Now you walk away. Why? Because this is what they'll do. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to see an incident in your life. And then, boom, come as a mad man to tear you apart and to just obliterate your life. And so we have to guard our heart. Can I get an amen? Guard our heart. Verse 25, back in Mark. For whoever has, to him more will be what given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Did you catch that? You see, saints, the people who listen and understand are those who are open to Jesus' teaching. To them, God will give more understanding. They will continue to grow because they let God's word make a difference in their lives. But in contrast, those who are not listening will lose whatever they had. So if God has given us the keys to the kingdom, and we know salvation is through Jesus, and we refuse to say anything to our brother or sister that's perishing, I'm talking about salvation, that only Jesus can save you, to share the good news, to share the love of God. Guess what? Whatever he has given you, he'll take that and give it to the one that's making a difference in people's lives. So we have to what? Pay attention. Do our best to hear God. Learn to love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Because look how Luke says it here. Pay attention, therefore, to how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. And no one takes that from you. It's God who takes it from you. You see, saints, Jesus' words here may have been directed to the Jews at the time who had no understanding of Jesus and would even lose what they had, that is, their privileged status as God's people. I pray for them. I pray for Temple Beth Shalom. We've been here many years. And we know our friend, the rabbi, he downloads all my messages. He hears what we teach here on Wednesdays and Sundays. I've even caught him saying, you know, things that I know I only mentioned in my messages. And I'm not going to put him, you know, on the spot. Hey, you're listening to my message, huh? In my honest opinion, he's a closet Christian. He's got too much word coming out of here. Can I get an amen? We're here for purpose, for reason. And we're here to love them. We're not here to say, man, you know what? You got all these Torah portions back here. And Jesus is throughout the Old Testament. Why do you still refuse to believe? We can't go that way with them. We got to say, God, open up their understanding. Help them, God. Because we were all mules at one time. Huh? We were all burros. Some of us, our parents, when we were little, you ever seen a donkey that or mule that they had a dragon? It wouldn't go nowhere. You had a dragon. That was us. We were dragged to church sometime, huh? One of the things that my dad used to do when we were little, because he couldn't grab us by our hair because our hair was always cut so short. And so when we were little, he would grab us by our ears. I remember that ear pinch, man. I'm telling you, it was a very effective method that he had on us. Because when someone grabs you, you can't wrestle that away. He's got a lock on you. Especially when it was time to go get a haircut in Tijuana. We would load up our Bel Air station wagon. Remember the station wagons? And we would all load up and head down there. And we knew where were we going. The barber. All of our friends, you know, had little hair that was coming down by the neck. Man, and we looked like we just came out of boot camp. You know those sixth grade pictures. Well, that's the grace of God, huh? It's something that God just allowed us to go through and remember those moments. Some moments were very precious, and some of them were like, Lord, let this day go by. So let's move in now to these next verses because they all tie in. And he said, the kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter what? Seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after the full-grown grain in the head. Now, once again, Jesus loves to use agriculture. But you know, for those of us who God has given us ears to hear and eyes to see, we see now the mystery to all this. You see, saints, this story about the kingdom of God, recorded by Mark, reveals that spiritual growth is a continual, gradual process that finally is consummated in a harvest of spiritual maturity. Did you know that if you get saved today, tomorrow, you're not a theologian? Can I get amen? Amen. Matter of fact, we're on infant milk. We're just on milk when we first get, don't we? We gotta first learn how to crawl before we can get up and walk. And then later on in life, as you grow in the grace, whoo, now here comes some carne asada. Notice you can't give filet mignon to a three-month-year-old. He will what? Choke. And so you can't get deep and all theological on someone that just got saved. Well, this is just going like this. What are you talking about? Well, we can begin to understand the process of spiritual growth by comparing it to the slow, certain growth of a plant. How many of you love the garden? Oh, there's some of you that garden, huh? And some of you probably have a green thumb, huh? Yeah, you do. Or do some of you plant a seed and never water it and still waiting for that plant to come? You know, it takes a little water to have it to grow, right? I've seen some folks speak to their plants. Hey, man, you're looking lovely. Yeah, you know, and waiting for it to talk back. That's when the neighbors are saying, whoa, what's going on here? But even though the farmer did not understand the actual process of growth, his ignorance did not stop it from happening. The seeds sprouted and they grew. So it's not like he was waiting every day. He just knew that he planted. The farmer knew he planted. And all he did was cultivate it. All he did is water. And did you know? By faith, it grew. And this is how we have to apply it spiritually with the Word of God. Not just in agriculture, but those who you encounter in life. Because God will allow you to plant and to water. But one day, God will give the increase. One day, He will just speak to your heart. Why? Because someone labored and planted that. Someone cultivated your heart. Someone said, you know what? This is the better way. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. Jesus wants to save you. And you start cultivating that heart. And then somewhere down the road, it could be tomorrow. It could be next year. It could be in 2 years. Then all of a sudden you hear, hey, so this person just got saved. You know, it was an incredible moment for me when I got saved back in 89. And I didn't know anyone that I went to school with or any, because, you know, all the Christians that were in school that maybe got saved after I got out of school, guess what? I used to mock them. So I knew that those folks were not my friends. They wanted to stay far from me. But when a couple found out that I got saved, and one of them was your precious cousin, Raymond Juarez, brother to Elsa and his sisters. And then Frank Scott, my friend that I went to high school with, and God kept him alive after his accident in his senior year, where till this day he's still in a wheelchair. And God saved him. And then Daniel Villalpando. Some of you know him, part of the Villalpando family. And God was just putting these folks in my life that we all knew each other, even as kids, and just to marvel what God has done for us. But guess why all that happened? It's because someone labored, someone cultivated, someone planted seeds in our hearts. And then God just poured on that moment to bring us into that place of repentance. Because we can't receive anything without repentance. Can I get an amen? He gives us a heart to repent. He gives us a mind to be saved. He's the one that prepares our heart. He's the one that enlightens us. He's the one that lets us see Jesus at the cross when we used to mock him and ridicule those who were walking. And then he gave us eyes. And he let us see the cross, and we ran to the cross. Only God can do that. And so the disciples, wondering about the difficult mission ahead of them, were being told by Jesus that they need not to worry about how the kingdom would grow. You know why? Because that part was up to God. Just do your part. God will do all the rest. Just share. Their job was just to plant. And plant that seed. And with his coming to earth, Jesus planted the kingdom of God, and God would bring that harvest to fruition. How many believe that it's harvest time right now? How many believe that God is still saving? That God is pouring out? That God is still winning the lost? He hasn't quit. And just because you know someone that you've watered and planted, don't believe for one moment that there is no hope for them, because God will bring it to pass. Can I get an amen? God remembers us. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Acts 2 and 39. And so look what it says up here in Peter. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow. Say that with me. But grow. One more time. But grow. What? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? To him the glory both now and forever. Amen. This is why you're here on Wednesdays. This is why you come on Sunday. To grow in his word, to be reminded how good he is to us, how marvelous he is. And so we're going to break down this last verse. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the what? The sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, you know how we have been introduced and illuminated to the seven feasts of the Lord. And we know, as we look at this chart, that Jesus died on Passover. He was buried on the second day during unleavened bread. He rose again on the third day on the Feast of First Fruits. And then 50 days later, the Pentecost festival came and the Holy Ghost was poured out. Now, I need you to see this right up here. This was the first Advent, meaning he came to die and he rose again. From Pentecost to trumpets, it's now the church age. So for 2,000 years already, the harvest, God has, there's ripe souls, that just fruit that's falling off the trees. Why? Because you had a big hand in it. You helped others come along. You fed them God's word. You were gracious to them. They saw Christ in you. And so God was preparing the heart. And when the day of salvation comes, hallelujah, guess what? It's harvest time for them. Because God has prepared them to receive him. And we all know that when the fall feasts become, when it comes prophetically fulfilled, I can't wait for trumpets. How many can't wait? Just imagine how big that shofar is going to be in heaven. This right here, it looks like a smoking pipe, and it's not. It's a ram's horn. But when heaven and the angels shout, we're going to hear the trumpet call. And when you hear that, he says, come up here, hither. Hallelujah. He says, come up with me. And let us now experience, hallelujah, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So let me ask you this. You have your ticket. Is your seat reserved? Is your name on that table where you will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Man, I can't wait. How many can't wait for that day? How many can't wait for that day? That's right. I mean, we're all still up. Praise God. Look what it says here in Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. So behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My good, it's now. It's now. It's now. And I close with this and we'll pray. And for those of you that maybe came a little later this evening, but this is a wonderful time for me to serve the Lord. For you, your faith, as we serve the Lord, because our brother right here is going to get baptized tonight. Hallelujah. It's going to remind me of our Friday nights back in the day. Man, we used to gather, didn't we? Man, sometimes five or six would get baptized that night. See, it's because it's harvest time. God's still pouring out. He hasn't quit, and God won't quit. And just to remind us, he won't quit on your loved ones. Can I get an amen? That don't know him. He won't quit, so don't you quit. Can I get an amen? Don't quit. Look what it says in Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. And we've been to Capernaum. Huh? We were there in April, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, saying, when Jesus came on the scene, it began. It began. When he showed up and he went into his 3.5 years of ministry, that's when time began. Because it first started with the 12. And the 12 turned the world upside down. And because of those 12 men who faithfully obeyed Jesus, we're here because of the Lord and because of their faithfulness. Look at this. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. How many years before you got saved, you were walking in great darkness? We were living a life of retribution. Let me tell you, we were just awful at times. Come on. You guys know my testimony. You know, there are times where I go, man, Lord, you have saved me from so much. How many remember in your drunk and stupor days? Hey, bring me another. Oh, no, that wasn't you, was it? No, not you. You're the speaker of the house, not you. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. Hallelujah. Guess what? The light has dawned on our hearts. Can I get amen? 2,000 years later, he thought of you. He thought of you. And I close with this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We don't know when that last soul is going to come into salvation. I'm praying that after my brother gets baptized in Jesus' name and he comes out of the water, okay, Lord, take us all now. He was the last one, Lord. I know we have wishful thinking, don't we? But you never know when he's going to call for us. Can I get an amen? That's why we are to prepare every day as though he were coming. But in the meantime, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Don't give up on them. Can I get an amen? Don't give up on them. God loves those that sometimes they just don't get it. But we get it, don't we? God's been gracious to us, huh? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this study tonight. I thank you for the saints that have pressed out tonight. I thank you that your grace is sufficient. I thank you that no matter what we go through, you are there with us, even through the fire, without even being burnt, knowing that you are the God from everlasting to everlasting has thought of all of us here and many others that love you. And many others that are walking in this great and wonderful salvation. Lord, I pray, God, that tonight's word will not come back void unto us. That when the opportunity comes, we'll share you with gladness. We'll share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And let others know how awesome you are, and that you are a loving God, a God that takes care of us, a God that protects us, a God that shields us, and a God that has reserved and has written our name in the book of life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this great and wonderful salvation. And I'm praying for maybe that one precious soul, even if it's just one that's listening on the internet right now, that if you've never given your heart to Jesus, we want to pray with you as a family. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if God is speaking to you, he's just saying in the simplest terms, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. If that's you and you're listening to God's voice right now, we just read and you just heard, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. And so pray with us, because we want to pray for you. If God is calling you, if God is speaking to you, this simple prayer of faith, and when I mean faith, your faith in Jesus Christ will take you into glory. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. Can I get amen? He really does. He loves you. And I'm so blessed you all pressed out tonight.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.